4 years ago at this time, my commentary focused on John McCain's bizarre selection of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin to be his running mate. Everyone who has either read the book Game Change or seen the movie knows what a disaster that was. This year, the Republican vice presidential candidate, Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, is a much more serious choice. That, however, does not mean he is a good choice for the country. Mr. Ryan's career in the House of Representatives gives ample reason to reject him for the role of potential president. First of all, let's dispense with the idea, which has been stated over and over again, that Mr. Ryan is a responsible fiscal conservative who will make sure that over time the federal budget is reined in and deficits reduced. That's pure nonsense, as the evidence shows. Some listeners may remember that back in 2006, I delivered a commentary called What's Wrong with Medicare Part D, the Prescription Drug Benefit. Representative Ryan, despite his supposed fiscal responsibility, voted for that bill, creating a long-run increase in the federal deficit because of the failure to include any effort at cost control. Medicare was specifically prohibited from using its bargaining leverage with drug companies to moderate price increases, something the VA does with good results. I might add that despite the almost universal Republican opposition to the individual mandate in Obamacare, Medicare Part D has an individual mandate. Every senior citizen must have prescription drug coverage, a boon to pharmaceutical companies, despite the failure to include any cost control mechanism other than the so-called magic of the market. The magic of the market, by the way, is the idea that if you let private businesses compete, they will compete prices down to affordable levels. In fact, pharmaceutical companies, faced with Medicare footing the bill, would have no incentive to compete. Next, let us briefly consider the so-called Ryan budget, passed in two different versions by the House of Representatives. Most of the focus in this campaign is how the original Ryan version ended the Medicare guarantee and substituted a voucher system, euphemistically called premium support. However, it is important to note that the Ryan budget includes a doubling down on the Bush tax cuts, already skewed to benefit high-income individuals. The top rate would be lowered to 25%, and the revenue would somehow magically be raised by closing loopholes and slashing spending on the civilian side of the budget. These cuts in spending have so outraged some religious leaders that a large number of Catholic women religious and priests have condemned Ryan's failure to live up to the teachings of his faith. Meanwhile, the slashing of spending on the civilian side is offset in part by Ryan's promise to raise defense spending. The result, as pointed out by no less a conservative icon as Richard Viguerie, is that the Ryan budget, even with very optimistic projections of future economic growth, does not balance for 20 years. In fact, Ryan's whole career has not been one of a fiscal conservative willing to make hard choices. Instead, he has proven over and over again that he wants the economy to distribute its resources so that the super rich increase their share while the poor and working people of this country experience the shredding of what safety net remains from the New Deal and Great Society. If the major tax loopholes are actually closed, Ryan's budget promises an increase in taxes on middle-income Americans. What a perverse choice by Mitt Romney. The choice of Ryan is a dangerous predictor of what a Romney presidency will be like. I have criticized President Obama's administration in these commentaries in the past, and I will continue to do so in the future. But at least we know he would not permit the Ryan budget or any of its clones to become the law of the land.